Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
There, I do understand. First of all, we should mention that Sal came in with Rowdy Roddy Piper bubblegum all out of the bubble. What is it called?
Yeah, because this
it's from his line from the movie where it's like, "I came here to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum."
That's amazing.
Yeah, they live. Is it called They Live?
Yeah, they live. It has maybe the best fight scene in all the movies.
Yes.
It's just that extended long fight scene.
And it's just nothing fancy.
No.
Just beating the shit out of each other.
And South Park did a shot-by-shot remake of that with Jimmy and Timmy fighting. So they had the two handicapped kids fighting.
Hysterical.
In a shot-by-shot remake. And it's just, including the backbreaker. It was insane. So yeah, that's my nerddom right there, Sal.
I'm texting the person who gave it to me because as I exited the car, Steve, I said to him, "Oh, I'm gonna drink these now because I figured, you know, I'll come on the we'll drink it. We'll see how bubblegum soda tastes."
Yeah, I mean, look, your intentions and heart were in the right place.
But wait, hold on a second. I mean, there's a bottle going for $11.99. I mean, I'm doing
on eBay.
Yeah. We could get ice and all sample.
You're in your seventh season.
We could get ice and all sample one of them.
Yeah, that's true.
And then
true.
If I really like, you know, I can get another one if I need to.
I mean, but
I say we sample one of them.
Well, but see, here's the dangerous thing, Sal. Is what if you drink it and it's the
and
most
love it.
And what's the most delicious soda you've ever had? You're like, I can only drink $12 Roddy Piper bubblegum sodas. Then in 2 years, you're on the next version of the documentary ESPN Broke, and you're like, "How did Sal lose all his money? Oh, bubblegum soda.
Yeah, yeah.
That old chestnut."
And then you interview some guy going, "What's crazy about Sal is that he never even chewed bubblegum."
You know, this is like swallowing gum. Right?
What's that?
That's what the sensation is going to be like, because you don't swallow.
Do you work
gum.
For the company? Are you pulling a fast one on us?
Because
that
I'm
was a great
is,
pitch.
This is going to be a weird sensation.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going to have the taste of gum, but it's liquefied, and then you swallow it.
Yeah, and swallowing gum, for those of you who've never done it, is, I mean, it's like having, it's like when you're at the gas station. I'm going to equate this to a terrifying moment for me, and a bird chose the front of my face as its path of flight to fucking whoosh, right by me, where I almost got face fucked by a bird. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Swallowing gum is the same type of like, heart stopping, like
there's a panic.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're like, is this how I'm gonna go?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if you're gonna die. And then there's all those, I don't know if they're urban legends or fables
like
or whatever, but they say
10 years to digest or something like that. Or like, there was one person who swallowed bubblegum, they farted, and then the bubble came out their ass and then the colon exploded. You're like, pretty sure.
Prove it.
I don't think that was on Spike TV's A Thousand Ways to Die.
Yeah. Did you ever hear that? I heard 7 years.
Yes.
If you swallow gum, your body can't break it down.
I love those types of fables and urban legends.
Yeah.
Like, I was told one as a kid, which was, don't sit too close to the TV. I'm sure everyone did. Or your eyes will...
Yeah, you'll go blind.
Yeah, or don't cross your eyes because you'll
stay that way.
There was a...
You know, don't fuck without a condom.
Yeah.
Because then your dick won't be able to see.
Was it Pop Rocks and Soda? Then you'll explode.
Death. I did hear that one.
Yeah.
Death. I heard death there. that's not real, right?
Now, was it one guy going around with all of these experiences and he was like, "Look, don't take my word for it." He was like the fucking LeVar Burton before reading Rainbow. "Look, you can swallow bubble gum, but that's your funeral."
Bubble gum or bubble gum?
Yeah. Either way, both are dangerous outcomes.
Wait, do you believe that
in magic? Yes.
Do you believe that it's not that true that you would swallow a bag of Pop Rocks right now and down a Coca-Cola Classic?
I would totally do it because there's no way that kills you. There's
you
no
would
way.
Do it.
Absolutely. There's no way that kills you.
Yeah, but
if there was the possibility of that mixture just blowing up your stomach, it's like when they say don't turn on your phone on the plane or else like it'll interfere with the instruments.
Yeah.
Like if there was any possibility of you turning on your phone and an airplane falling out of the sky, they'd be like, "Well, all right, we're not having phones. You're like, you're gonna put them in one of those locked sleeves or safes. Okay, so yeah, that I highly doubt it. But
well, we should. We
who
should've.
Knows? Maybe the dwarf stomach is more sensitive. I have no idea.
These are things to consider.
Yeah,
we should have done a thing where we dispel all of this. We should have got like five things.
We should have like we thought about this.
Yeah,
guys, we really missed the boat.
Why didn't we pre-plan this podcast? There's got to be. Isn't there a Mythbusters? Don't they do? But they wouldn't tackle these types of.
But I think theirs was more like.
Mythbusters is where they try to do like the thing where like, well, all right, well, in Indiana Jones, he got in a fridge and then survived a nuclear blast.
Yeah.
Can that happen? And it's like, no.
Yeah, Pop Rocks and Soda would have been like on a down week.
Yeah. Like, okay, I guess we'll do the Pop Rocks and Soda one. We're completely out of ideas.
My mom used to make me like literally yell at me to sit too close to the TV. I bet you that is bad for your eyes, though, because it's gotta be. If you stare at a computer screen all day.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know the thing about the computer screen being just stimulating for the brain that keeps you up later. Like when you're getting ready to go to bed, there's like 90 minutes you're not supposed to watch.
I've only heard that in the last couple of years, but now they have the screen that turns like yellow.
What's that? Oh, to kind of like...
Yeah, on your phone. They have it like you put on a setting. It's right here. Look, you go like this.
God, I wish I was more savvy with all the like...
I'm not savvy, but someone told me this.
But that's what I'm saying. This? You're around people that at least know.
Oh.
You see, so now... No, what you should do is you touch it. If you hold it...
What's it called?
It's called night shift. So like at sundown, it knows because it knows when sundown is. Or you could just do it yourself. But it'll turn yellow so that you're looking at this screen an hour and a half before bed and it doesn't do what the phenomenon that you just said.
Whoa.
And that your computer has it too.
Night Shift sounds like a good sitcom from the 80s.
It really does.
Carl Winslow would have been on that. Reginald Bell Johnson.
Now would you have to package it with Night Court?
Yeah. It's Night Night. Welcome to Night Night.
It's all on Nick at Night.
Yeah.
Why hasn't Nick at Night had a night where it's called Night Night? Night Rider, Night Court, Night Shift.
You should be in marketing.
Yeah. I know this, dude.
What are you doing wasting your time with comedy?
Yeah. Stop this shit, Adam.
You sound like my PE teacher. Well, I ran into him where I think I was a year into doing stand-up, and I went back home, and I was just... Even when I would go home to Seattle, I would still just do open mics. But I still was like... But still, the friends that knew I was doing it didn't know anybody else doing it. So the ones that really gave a shit and still are supportive were like, are you going to do any shows while you're here? As if like I was doing some big show. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm going to sign up and we'll see. You know? So stay tuned.
Well, I mean, could you go and tell them that you're in Los Angeles? So that's got to be enough, right?
I mean, that would... You're not too far off from their the way their brain was working.
Exactly.
Right. But
what are some of the weirder things that... Like now that you've got this, you're famous, Sal. Let's be honest.
I didn't think so until you went on Harry Connick Jr. And that's another urban legend that I've heard. Once you go on Connick, your heart grows two sizes bigger.
Yeah, I went back. I was on twice in like 2 weeks, and we hit it off. And then I went to dinner with Harry the other night.
What?
Yeah, it was so cool. He's like been like I really liked him growing up.
You went to a concert in '94.
Yes.
You showed it. First of all, you kept the ticket.
Yeah, I've kept every ticket. I have like 20 tickets.
God, I always wanted to do that, and I started doing it in fifth grade, and then lost like the three that I had, and I was like, I guess this hobby was not for me.
I have a box, I'm not kidding, it's got to be this big, stacked to every live event I've ever gone to.
Yeah. I've got two books. Two books, and just
filled
tickets. And I'm talking
from the 80s.
I don't go back that far. I go back to Weird Al in 2003.
Yeah.
Which was a great concert.
Well, I might have a Third Eye Blind ticket stub somewhere.
It's so cool because I went through those tickets to find it to show the Harry show that I had that ticket.
Yeah.
And I was going through all my old tickets. And you relive your life. Like, I couldn't believe. It's a box this big. I'm like, how the hell did I do this many things?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I'm like, oh, my God, I remember this show. I remember that show.
What were some of the highlights?
Let's see. Pearl Jam, Bon Jovi, Stevie Wonder, Prince, Madonna.
Anybody good?
Ray Charles.
Oh, my God.
By the way, Ray Charles.
George Carlin.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Dude, that's everybody.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking like all the big ones. But
But I mean, sure. Then you had one of like the Aquabats.
I did. Absolutely.
I tried to go for the most obscure punk band I could think of. And you're like.
The Specials, the Aquabats.
And you're like, I saw the Aquabats.
Misfits.
That's a great show, by the way, to go through people's almost like an anti-hoarders where it's like finding the cool collectibles.
Yeah.
Because there's probably a story. Whether long or short, for every one of those tickets that you find, right?
Absolutely.
It sparks some sort of like, oh man, that Carlin show, like whether it's a story just about the show or like what happened pre or post, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Someone's probably out there has 42 amazing post Cher concert stories. You know
right,
what I'm
right, right.
And they're just sitting there.
Each one their own baby.
You've got 42 Cher babies, and you're not sharing them.
Ironically enough,
I got kicked out of a Steve Miller concert. Joe Cocker, Steve Miller.
Oh wow. My God!
I'm super excited to see Steve Miller. Steve Miller, the song, his song was number one on the
Cowboy.
Charts the day I was born.
Oh really?
No, it was rock.
Take the money and
rock,
run.
No, rock. Keep on rocking.
Keep on rocking, rockin', baby. Baby.
Wow. Yeah,
that was the number one song the day I was born. So like I knew, I always knew that, you know. And I like classic rock.
Chumbawamba Tump Thumping was the number one song when I was born. So pretty much
that's
the same thing.
That's not true. No, of course that's not true. No,
okay. I'm 19 years.
Yeah, okay.
Got good
it.
For you.
I knew it was. Like, I knew it was a joke. But then you look like a little bit serious. I'm like, when was that at?
Wow, what does that song do for you?
Well, I mean, I wasn't listening to it in the fucking. I didn't like.
Mama was like, "You're like, gonna rock out tonight, Sonny boy."
I wasn't like playing the umbilical cord off my stomach. But you know, later in life, I was like,
after, yeah,
you know. So but I always like he has so many hits.
Yeah,
so many hits. So I go with my cousin and a friend and a coworker and stuff, and we get there early. It's at Jones Beach in Long Island, which I found out is a dry venue. They don't serve alcohol.
Oh, shit.
So we're in the parking lot just loading up. And, you know, we hear Joe Cocker. It's an outdoor venue. So we hear Joe Cocker and he sings all his, but we don't even go in for Joe Cocker.
Why would you?
Now, why would you?
Why would you be my friend? Wait a minute.
What's the lyrics of that song?
What would you
what
do?
What would you do if I sang out to?
Yeah, that one.
Why would you?
Why
would you?
Why would you be my friend?
He's the most insecure.
Yeah. Why would you be my friend? I'm a piece of shit, man. No, see, whenever I think of Joe Cocker, I don't even think of the Wonder Years. I think of John Belushi doing
yeah,
Joe Cocker.
Yes, exactly.
And that's how I think. I've never seen Joe Cocker live,
yeah.
But I'd be very disappointed if he didn't do it exactly like John Belushi.
Exactly. And that is another one, Joe Cocker, famous one, where he cries during the recording. He's singing...
Really?
I'll find you are so beautiful.
Really?
Yes.
And then he starts crying during it?
And then literally on the recording, he starts crying. And that's the recording. That's the song. That's the single.
That's what they use?
He's crying on it.
Wow.
Yeah. Man.
It's like, you're everything I hoped for. You're everything I need.
Damn.
And then he's at the end, he's like, you are so beautiful.
Yeah.
And he goes, to me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, here I guess, it is. Yeah, he cried during the recording.
Now, do they keep it because they're like, I mean, you can't, that was such a raw take, or were they like, we honestly have no more tape. Studio time.
You're like, do you have another $100? Because if not, that's going to be the one that gets pressed.
Yeah. Yeah, great story, though. And then, so how do you get, how do you like Harry Connick Jr.? Like how are you a fan of that?
I always loved, as a kid, I loved jazz music.
Yeah.
And not that he's traditional jazz, he comes right out of New Orleans, he plays every instrument, he's well-versed in jazz, but his stuff was really more jazz standards and then whatever, but I just kind of love that kind of stuff. And then for me, it was the first time I saw someone that was doing that kind of music again now. And I was so appreciative of that. Like, I remember being like, oh, this, people are still making this music. Granted, some of them are covers, but he's making originals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is now. And it's someone who's within 10 years of my age. And I just thought it was the coolest, you know, like I always wanted to play the piano, you know.
Me too.
Right.
I took lessons for 3 months. The guy wanted to teach me scales. And I wanted to learn the Jurassic Park theme song so that I could go to the piano in the cafeteria during lunch and play it and impress girls.
Exactly.
That's all anyone wants to do is to have a party or be at a party, see a piano, and just be that guy that's like, oh, this? I mean, I don't even know. It's been so long since I've even... But and just like start going. Yeah. Like you start playing Great Balls of Fire.
Because the piano, we could all swing it. Like with an hour, we could all swing a basic song. It's not like guitar.
Yeah,
right.
You know, you could be like, oh, I don't really know. Dun, 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 dun. It's like the Halloween theme song.
Anyone can learn Chopsticks in 5 minutes. Yeah. So it's like you can learn something. It's just what level you want to do it at.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Connick, he really was... Also, to be like, guys like that just made the piano so cool, right? Like, the piano by itself, like, kind of a whatever instrument. It's the person who sits down, like, it's all the chemistry, I'm sorry, the charisma that sits down, and then, like, the way that they kind of, like, just fucking make it seem like it ain't no thing, you know?
Yes.
Like Brad just said, like, you just sit down, like, yeah, I guess I'll play a couple of fucking 4-hour tunes that I improvised, you know?
I mean, if you played piano and you had one in your house, wouldn't you just every day just go and get on
every
and be like,
day,
hey,
dude,
and just let it down. Fly?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know.
Just let it go. Meanwhile, I just sit there with a tambourine and bang it against my hip. Right. Yeah, dude. That's all I got every day.
I tried to do spoons because I thought it would be easy. Because I used to go to this jazz club called Smalls.
Are you serious?
No, no joke. So what happened was in college, I loved jazz so much. I used to go to this jazz club called Smalls. It might still be there in the city.
I'm very offended by that. jazz club called Smalls. It's bullshit, man.
Ironically, everyone in there was over 60.
I know. Discriminatory. I couldn't get a job at Smalls. I tried. I'm like, I'm literally on the front. I'm on the side. I'm
You're
on
advertising
the side.
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were the logo.
Yeah. It's like me not being able to get a job on St. Patrick's Day. It just doesn't make any sense. Stupid.
They used to open at 10. At 10, wow. And stay open till daylight. And
that's so cool.
It was an open jam, and the place was bring your own booze. How cool is this? Right? So I'd get like a six pack, and usually a lot of times I would go alone because I couldn't get friends to go because no one wanted to go see jazz at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Right. Why?
It just
seems so awesome.
I went on a couple of dates. I thought it'd be cool.
Yeah,
and
great
like,
dates,
I think one girl appreciated it a lot. One girl was like, why are we doing this? But anyway,
yeah.
They used to let you, it was an open jam. It was $5 cover, bring your own booze, but it was free if you would get up and jam with an instrument. So like as a joke, I was like, well, maybe like I was trying to practice the spoons at home to save $5 every weekend. So I got the spoons, I didn't do it well, but the guy thought it was so funny because he was like, what? I'm like, he goes, I go, I'm jamming tonight. He goes, I go, yeah, I got the spoons or whatever. And the guy just like left on face. He's like, man, get in there.
The most obscure instrument, you bust out spoons.
I couldn't afford an instrument. And I was like,
the guy behind you has got his washboard and his jug with the three X's across it. Like, I got this thing. Yeah, I'm good, right?
But he let me in, and they let me in all the time after that.
That sounds like a Joker's
exactly
stunt.
Right.
Like, were you committing to it, or do they? Could they tell?
I didn't play him. I didn't play him. Okay. He let me in, and that night I'll never forget. I saw this drummer showed up there. His name is Max Roach. He's one of arguably the most famous jazz drummer of all time.
Wow.
He's a living legend. He was just playing there. I got in for free, and I was drinking like a Coors Light. But but yeah, no. So so we used to have like driver's ed. It was like in '92,
mm-hmm.
And I was a sophomore in high school. And when you drove, so it was three of us, three friends, and the driver's ed teacher. And we go before class started. So what we'd have is, it was 1 hour. So you'd get to school, they'd talk to you a little bit, you'd get in the car, and then you'd be able to drive like 15 or 20 minutes each. But the last guy would have to, you know, start making his way back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how we did it. We'd be on the streets. And you were allowed to control the cassette deck when you drove. So I remember I made a whole Harry cassette. And whenever I took driver's ed, when I drove, it was Harry in that.
So it was like, see, 92. So that's like, it's going from Pearl Jam and Smells Like Teen Spirit. And then here comes Sal. I remember the day.
Yes. Little bit of me and a whole lot of you.
Like, well, this guy's going to pass. He's so relaxed.
Good for you for like, because like that. Jazz for some people might fall under that category of like guilty pleasure music.
Right.
Good for you for not having that and just being like, no, this is my music.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, Harry was more pop. Like he was like, I dig in. I like listen to like actual old, you know, music.
It makes you wish too. I mean, when I hear Buble, like there's a part of me that's like, I wish I had those pipes. You know, because I don't know. It's just so. Again,
it's
like
a crooner. It's a different kind of style, you know?
Yeah, it feels like they're gliding through life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorites who does all the old standards, long since passed away, what was Mel Torme.
Yeah.
And then I love Mel
Torme. Velvet Fog.
The Velvet Fog. The best nickname ever.
I'm sorry.
Screw all your rapper names. Right. It was all your Lil Wayne and Young Jeezy and ASAP and anything with a dollar sign. No. Yeah. The best nickname ever, The Velvet Fog by Mel Torme.
Mel Torme.
And then you hear his voice, you're like, yeah, makes
I get
sense.
It. I get
I
it.
Totally get it.
Yes, it's so
it's
true.
It's like, how can you describe a voice as Velvet Fog? And you hear Mel Torme, you're like, yeah, that's how.
Right, right.
That's so cool.
You know what's so funny? One person in one moment in time gave him that name.
And then just stuck.
Like, right? That's how, it wasn't like someone called him Velvet for years and someone called him Fog for years and then they all hung out together and he combined them. Like, one person was like, your voice is like a Velvet Fog.
Yeah.
And then we're here today talking about it.
Yeah. There you go. From
You get it? It just rolls in all soft. It
rolls in soft.
I mean, now it's like people do this type of a voice as like a joke. You know what I'm saying? But that's just because they're jealous.
Yeah. Because they can't, cause they can't do it for real.
They're like...
Yeah. Fucking try that, Bieber.
Would you ever... Now, if you ever... you know, do the goddamn comedy jam again, would you ever go... Would you ever bust out some Tourmé, or is that too niche?
No, I would love to. Yeah. What I do is when we do the jam, I'll like text Josh, and I'll
Josh
be like,
Adam Myers,
yes, Josh Adam Myers, and I'll be like, here's the five I'm thinking of, and I let him like be like, I think you should do either this one or this one, and I go by what he says. But like, a lot of times you go, it's about rocking out and turning the place on its face. But I feel like I really do want to do either that or like a slow ballad.
Yes.
Like something that people would slow dance to.
Yeah.
And then go the opposite direction, but be intense with it.
Casey and JoJo, All My Life. Just bust that one out.
But then take a rock rendition to it, you know?
Yeah. See, but now I don't want to rock, rockify it.
You wanna...
Why did you say that? I don't want to do that.
I don't stay, rockify my Casey and JoJo,
in
Adam. Pocket.
I want maybe to look out and some people are making out for the first time. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because like, so you don't want, why
close to me,
you?
You're like my brother. Close to me, you're like my mother. Close to me, you're like my sister.
That's actually pretty good.
I mean, if there's punk versions of that, yeah. I mean,
you blow that show away all the time.
I mean, it's just like, it's what I like.
You're talking about, imagine you have this voice. You are someone I know that's blessed with of a gift of a voice.
I mean,
you have a nice baritone. You sound great. You sound great when you speak on the radio. You'd get a lot of you do a lot of voiceover work. Yeah. You can sing. What's it like? You tell us what's it like. No, because I sound like I have rocks in my mouth. I could turn it on and off my accent, but if I'm getting animated and I'm passionate about something, it comes out. Yeah. I know I sound like a moron. I do. I sound like an idiot. You can't help it. The East Coast, you just sound less intelligent.
I disagree. You have a voice that is fun to listen to, easy to listen to, and you have one of those great story voices where it's like, no matter if the story is terrible, like, you're going to make it engaging because of the intonations.
That was the way of telling me I tell terrible stories.
Sal, your story game sucks.
Your
mouthful of rocks helps.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that could truly set the tone. Hell, I was in Rhode Island 2 days ago, and I went to a PF Chang's, and like when you walk into a Chinese restaurant,
this story is
you're expecting it will get better. Expecting like Chinese restaurant, like Chinese accent, but they had like that hard Boston accent, and it just took me out. He's like, yo, so they're like the fucking pork lo mein's wicked awesome. You're gonna get that shit
coming out of
like,
an Asian person.
Yeah, and you're like that's
it is a little trippy.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
Such a spoiled American being like, sound like the way you're supposed to sound. Like. Quit confusing me.
I want my authentic Chinese from PF Chang.
Yes.
Authentic.
I'll also take a tote bag.
Yeah. And you know what? I wasn't refused to work at Smalls. I didn't even apply.
Dude, and now we you're here because Jokers is on. This is season
seven?
Seven. Man, like this show that you're doing with your childhood buddies. I mean, yeah, the dream is that it goes 7 seasons or 10 seasons, but you probably thought like, all right, well, this will go for maybe season 2 and then I'll have to move on to the next thing. And 100%. Then
do you have that mindset when you start, or you try to not even like let those things seep in? You're try to make the best.
I'm sure you try not to, but you give it a good thought, you know,
because once you get a taste of how dope it is, you're like, oh man, like let's just do this for a while, right? Like,
yeah,
please nobody get in the way of this.
Well, we couldn't believe people responded to it the way they did. First of all, you make the first season in a vacuum.
Yeah.
It's never been on the air. People have no idea who you are. So we're filming it and it's just us. It's almost like when we used to film our web videos. Like, no one's seeing it yet. No one has seen it yet. And we're belting out a year's worth of work here. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we have no idea how people are going to receive it. We have no idea if people are going to like it. So we're just doing our own thing. We're like off with our little crew. We had a very little crew in the beginning, just doing it. And then by the time we finished the first season, which was only 17 episodes, which now they're like 30 episodes every season.
Wow.
I was like, well, there's nothing more to do there.
Yeah.
You know, like how many times, I mean, what else can you do? We did 17 episodes. There's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, at the end of this season, we'll be approaching just under 200 episodes.
Wow. Oh
my God. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Well, and by the way, I was looking up some information on you, and according to Wikipedia, you guys are in like Some other jokers.
Yeah.
You know, that aren't the OGs. Now, please tell me you at least get paid for that.
I don't know. I think we get like... So it's boring, but overseas is on, usually on Comedy Central or TBS, and it's represented by Warner Brothers, not here with Turner. And I think that we have a percentage of a trickle down percentage of a percentage of the total sale of what it would take to. So it trickles back to us, but like it's not a ton. And like in some countries, I heard, which is crazy, like they'll make the show for like 5% of what we make it for here. It's like a different, like there's like a Lebanon one.
Yeah.
And I think it was like, no joke, like $45 to make the show.
Now, is it a hit over in the other countries as well?
It's a hit in a lot of countries, actually. And then our version got into more and more countries. And now our version is very, very, very popular in the UK, Ireland, India.
Well,
it's big there. Like, yeah, they're number one there.
Sold out the O2 Arena again.
Yeah, man, that's
an insane statement that you're able to say.
Are they starting to approach you with crazier venues like that, like to just kind of get on the books, like, hey, this is a possibility, you guys want to do this? Is that kind of...
It's been going in stages. You know, we started in like B rooms, and then A rooms, and then maybe even C rooms. Then actually it was C rooms. We were in like pool halls.
Yeah,
when we first started. Fuck. Then a little bit, you know, better rooms, then A rooms, then small theaters, little bigger, it's been like six iterations.
Yeah.
And right now we're chipping away at arenas now.
Is there a dream venue like you're coming
Madison
from?
Madison Square, yeah, was pretty, say, right?
The Garden was the dream venue.
Yeah.
Even the O2 was, it's like their version of the, it's the O2 out there, it's the thing.
Yeah. Well, that's where Michael Jackson was going to do his run.
Yes.
His last run, yeah.
Did they talk about when you were there? Like, is there any like security guard that was like, you know, Michael was going
to
be here?
I actually did talk to one of the drivers about it.
That's my English accent, by the way. So, I know you guys were like, where's he from? Brad was like, does he work at PF Chang's?
Yeah,
I don't know how to respond.
No, I knew. I was like, I
can't
was
buy
transported.
A dumpling from that guy. I don't trust him.
And it's just nuts. And the first time we played the O2, I think, was the first arena that we did. Mm-hmm. We went two tours in the UK last year, and it was January, and it was the first night we did two O2s the first two nights and two O2s the last two nights of the tour.
Wow.
So it was the first time ever that we did was the O2. It was 15,000, and I cried. I walked out. I was tried not to cry on stage. I cry all the time. I should just get that out of the way. Like, I cried at a Pep Boys commercial the other day.
But no judgment here, dude.
I saw
an unexpected animal friendship video the other day, and yeah. I'm like, they shouldn't be making this work. Dogs and bears never got along before this moment.
Those get me.
You know, zebras and cats. Yeah.
I talk all the time about how I cry easy, so I'll preface it with that. But anytime we've done like a little bit of a benchmark show for us, I always get like, when we did Radio City, I was crying like a bitch.
Wait, and you said you brought the family on stage.
I brought my family
on
stage, yeah.
Is it? Are you getting used to it? I mean, you're such a like even keeled, humble, like professional. Like I've seen you turn on the professional juices. Like when I went and saw you guys at the Greek, and there was just like show things to be handled. I saw you get into like show mode, but like you go in and out of it so easily. Where it was just like you just upped like your normal charismatic, you know, self to where like, hey, this also like this is an important thing that needs to happen so that all this happens.
Right.
And then it got handled and it was like, all right, cool. Now I can, now back to just.
Yeah. I mean, like you guys would too. You're just hands on, you know, like there's, you're in, when you're doing this, even
you're in go mode,
you're
in
entertaining,
mode.
But you're also thinking as a producer. Like, yeah. You're doing multitasking. So I guess that's, you're kind to say that those nice things. We started out do it yourself. Everything was just the four of us. You know, we had the camera, we edited it, we did everything. Yeah. We have a shorthand with each other.
So that's all you know.
So we kind of are an autonomous governing body of ourselves. But we have a really good team. So you probably just we have to switch on and off and stuff, I guess.
Now going into season 7, like, is there extra pressure to be like, okay, we got to do something new. We got to up the ante. We got to do something like that.
Always.
Yeah, because we were watching one as you were coming in. And it seems like in the new season you're doing more in front of larger audiences, like you're doing like speaking venues in front of a large captive audience.
Well, that one with Big J at the show where you
collected a cover.
Oh my god! And that's based on a real story.
Yeah, that happened with
that
everybody.
That type of shit is, and I love that doing the bonus coverage
at the end.
Yes,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And seeing how it gets made, like that's, I mean, was that something the fans asked for? Or was that
no?
Like,
so what happened was True TV changed their their programming format, and they said we're going to have almost...
We're going to add other shows.
2.5 minutes to every half hour. We're going to have less advertising.
Oh, wow.
But we're gonna have more bigger advertisers on board supporting us, like get behind fewer advertisers and really push them and have less commercials. So they're like, we're going to need... Per 30 minutes, we used to hand in a cut that was between 21 and a half and 22 minutes mm-hmm. with 8 minutes of commercials. Now they're like, we need to hand in 24 and a half minutes. So we have extra footage, but a lot of times we'll put it in a special, yeah. you know. But like, we're like, so do we want to just show more show? People won't even know they're getting more show.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. you watch it, you don't know what you're watching. So if we yeah. just, if it was just 3 minutes longer, will people ever realize it? So we're like, well, what can we do a little bit differently? And we're like, well, what if we took the last 3 minutes and just kind of showed something a little different? Like, so what it became was showing a little behind the scenes look, maybe a bonus scene, but like we wanted to get into the nuts and bolts. Because one thing we always wanted to do was have the show be a little more transparent because mm-hmm. our crew is such a big part of the show. And yeah. we pushed in the beginning and we finally got this, but we want our crew to be characters on the show. Yeah. We want them to be part of the show.
Yeah.
They're standing right next to us all day long the whole time. Mm-hmm. And they contribute everything. Yeah. And they contribute, we're open like that. Like people will throw ideas out and we all work together. So we started using our crew, and that was a way to like kind of turn the camera around and ask them how they do it. We thought people might be interested in it. When it first came out, people, that's the thing about our fans. They are avid and loyal fans, but they are a little bit like, we love this. We don't want anything else. You know, yeah. So when it first came out, they thought it, I guess they thought maybe the show was getting cut short to put this in.
Oh,
and they're like, what's going on? Like, put on more joys. Oh, okay. There's a little bit of like a backlash with it. And then it's like, no. Like we had to like get the word out that no. This is like, it's three longer minutes. And
yeah.
This is something we want to do. Like you wouldn't be seeing this anyway. We're not taking away any of the show. Right. You're getting bonus stuff.
Wow. It's also funny. It's like, you can't say that in the show. Like you don't, right. Like sometimes the fans do anything spelled out.
I said
so
it.
So that's not so daunting.
I think I said it one time.
Oh, did you?
I think I just addressed it straight okay. to camera. Okay. I'm like, this is bonus footage. Like we're yeah. not.
We're not cutting you guys out of anything. You're not missing yeah. any pranks.
John and Des Moines, get yeah. off the couch. Put down the TV. It's fine.
It kind of helps too, because people come up to us and a lot of times have the same questions.
Yeah.
We're fielding the same questions, like, where do you, how do you, and it's like, well, you know, maybe we yeah. can answer a few of those.
Why does Joe Cocker sing about nobody wants to be his friend?
Hey, I've always wondered that.
Oh, dude, exactly. That concert, we got loaded. I go in to see Steve Miller, we're in the nosebleeds.
Oh, yeah, how'd you get thrown out? Yeah.
So I forgot about this. So we're wrecked, but in good spirit wrecked, not rowdy, not disrespectful.
Yeah, you don't seem like you'd be an angry drunk.
No, not even, but you're not even falling drunk. Down. But we're ready to go.
Yeah.
So we get up there and he's playing this song, Come On and Dance. And it's, I don't know. I'm
come on and dance. Come on and dance.
Yeah. And so we're standing and we're singing along and we're like dancing.
Yep.
And I'm looking. And when I tell you, if you could imagine, this is not an exaggeration. It holds 14,000 people. We were the three people standing.
No.
Yes. Aww. It was almost like a Twilight Zone, because everybody was like 60. You know, because it was Steve Miller, and it was like those, like everyone was just like sitting in their seats, like going like this only. And
were they even bobbing their heads, or
maybe bobbing their heads? We were up top, and I'm looking down, and you see the whole floor. Not one person is standing, right?
Oh, that's depressing.
And we're dancing, and we hear people start yelling at us. They're like, "Sit down in front, right?
Stop having fun."
So I turn around, I'm like, "What?"
God.
And the guy's like, "Sit down." The guy behind me, he's like, we're five rows from the wall.
Yeah.
And he's three rows from the wall. And he's like, sit down.
You're ruining my view of something I can't see anyway.
I'm like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, this is it. We're like, we're almost not here.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not sitting down. I'm whatever.
That's like being on the Titanic as it's going down, being like, scoot over. You know, I don't got enough room to drown to death.
Yeah. And then people start... There's like a mob mentality. And all these old people like, sit the fuck down.
Yeah.
Like they're getting like mean about it. And so
you don't want to fuck with old concert goers, by the way.
Well, I didn't, but I did.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So you know, when they started getting mean.
Yes.
Right?
That's inappropriate.
He's like, sit the fuck down. And he cursed me. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
I gave him that kind of New York, like, fuck you. Right? And he's like, yeah. And then everyone's like, no, really? Sit. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna sit down. And they're like going, boo. And they're like, sit down, and it's starting to cause a scene. And now people are turning and looking at our section. You know how that happens.
Yes, yeah.
When something's going down in one section.
Sure. Everyone turns around.
Yeah, everyone's looking. And then the guy's like, you're an asshole, whatever. I'm like, you're a bunch of geriatrics. Right? And I'm like, so.
How did he know your name was Jerry?
And I remember having a moment of clarity. I'm like, this. I go, I turn around, I hit him with this. It didn't work. I'm like, what do you think Steve Miller would want? I'm like, he wants Jesus. You up. I said, the song's called Come On and Dance. I'm dancing. I'm listening to him. You're not.
Yeah,
and
you.
Then, and all these security guards swarm, and like five or six guards in like yellow windbreakers. They're all, and they come and they surround it, and everyone's
leave
going,
Steve Bah! Miller out of this.
And they're pointing at us. And so security comes to me and goes, what's going on? I go, dude, I go, I'm at a concert.
I'm dancing
I'm
at a concert.
In my seat dancing to the song, Come On and Dance. He wants me to sit down. I don't know what to say.
It's not called sit down and try to have a good time while bobbing your head, Jerry.
Right. And the guy was empathetic. He goes, I know what you mean. He goes, come on, come with me. I'm going to put you somewhere else. So I'm like, great. So I hit my friends. I'm like, they're going to put us somewhere else, my cousin and my friend. And they thought we were getting kicked out. So the whole place goes nuts. And they're like, asshole. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, I'm getting moved to better seats.
Yeah, but you can't scream that over the asshole chant.
I'm giving them fucking fingers and everything. He takes me, we go all the way downstairs to the floor, walk through the floor to the stage. On the right, directly on the side, touching the stage, is a chain link fence. He opens a gate, and there's a area about the size of where we're sitting right now with like friends and family and VIP. It's like 12 people in there. And he closed it, and I'm leaning on the stage now.
Oh, my God.
And
sitting
everyone
down going, get down in front.
Everyone in that area is sitting. And I'm just like,
fuck?
So we're standing and I'm looking back out and everyone's sitting and everyone in this area is sitting. And I got so disgusted that we left early.
Wow.
Yes.
Just because it's like you guys are sucking the fun out of a concert.
You know, it had, the rug was pulled from under us. It was like, it took all of our juju out of there. You know,
There's only so much of your own fun you can bring to something. And you need what you went for to match you halfway.
Something.
And the band was, but it's like they were doing their part, right?
Yeah, they were. He was singing the hits as they sound.
But he wasn't like trying to get involved and be like, hey, no, like, stand up.
On your feet, motherfuckers.
No, to be fair, he was very low energy himself. Yeah. I mean, the songs were the songs.
Yeah. Right.
But they weren't like running around stage or telling everyone to get up or anything like that.
Damn.
But
by the way, that's take a moment. That's the coolest security guard ever.
He was cool.
Because that's never happened before.
I know.
That's insane.
To go out of your way.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like five rows from the end and then I went to the stage. In any other circumstance, you would think that would be enough to put me over the top.
Yeah.
But something happened in those moments between.
Do you think something happened with that security guard? Like he I feel like there's more that he wanted to say to you on that walk down to be like, you know, I was you once. Trying to rock out with my cock out. All these old fucks around me trying to tell me to keep it in my pants.
I was headbanging at a Sinatra concert. Yeah, they told me to sit down. I said, nay.
Heard a Mel Torme?
Yes, yes.
Dude, I used to go to Marissa Tomei concerts.
I started a mosh pit at a Mel Torme concert. Velvet Fog, Velvet Shut the Fuck Up. That's what we did. Oh,
yeah, there really
that's
is.
Bummer.
There really that's a thankless job too. Those like concert security job guys, even like at sporting events, like they're. I mean, and you know, for a lot of the games I used to go to in Seattle, there were a lot of like the ticket tears and whatnot. Were just like these old people. They're like, I just want to keep working. I don't have time for the drama. You know.
Yeah. So they're not going to sit down and hear all sides of the story. They're like, oh, you don't like him? All right, fuck, you're out. Like.
You ever see someone working that's
get some water.
Old, that's like very old,
uh-huh.
And you're like, oh my God, like, why are they working? I feel so bad for this person.
All the time.
You know, like someone that looks like they're maybe like in their 80s.
Yeah.
You're done, you made it.
Yeah, like you should be just on a beach somewhere.
What is going on? Like, are they working?
You should be fishing. You should be doing something. Yeah.
Are they working out of a need or a want? And I really hope it's a want.
Yeah, but then you see some of the jobs, and you're like, all right, Walmart greeter wasn't how you wanted to spend your golden years. Like, you probably have to do this, and that's just a bummer. Thanks, buddy. Yeah, like it's funny because we work in a business where
I think about this all the time. When do we stop?
Never.
We don't, right?
I hope we never
till
do.
Until you die.
Yeah.
You're Rickles. Like, you just go till the end.
Yeah.
It's that athletes, I think, would try to if they could. Like, Brett Favre tried to. Like, he would. Like, and Tom Brady is now going
to
try
to. But they get to tap out in their 40s, and then they either do sports. They either buy a restaurant, go into broadcasting, or they just invest or something. They do speaking.
Yeah.
But like us, like, we
when do you, I mean, I tell jokes because I need to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to. Like, when do you, when
can
do
you imagine
when,
being,
what's the day that comes where you wake up and you're like, okay, I'm not going to do stand-up anymore?
Oh, God. I don't know. Maybe
I
when
don't
it,
want that day to come. When every, yeah, I don't think it ever will.
Yeah. Because I mean, even when you have, quote unquote, enough money, like, now you just, okay, maybe you don't do the gigs that you don't like or
right.
that are in certain places where you don't want to go or venues. But I would hope that I'm still doing it.
Like, what's your retirement? Do you feel like, you know, when people like literally they retire and
yeah.
then it's just about enjoying the day.
Yeah.
And maybe you take more vacations than you do, but you get up, you read the paper, you go for a walk, you build something.
That was my dad, but with golf.
Sure, you golf.
He retired at 58 and then just like golf like every day.
And do you feel like that won't be what you want? Like you'll also still have to go, I gotta write new jokes, I gotta bomb, I gotta try new stuff, I gotta get a new, I gotta make people, you gotta, like, cause then it's like, you think about that too, and as much as I feel that that's what's gonna happen, it also is like, oh God, that sounds exhausting. Like to be 80 and writing jokes.
Oh,
like,
fuck that, I wanna be taking walks.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe that's where you, but also we'll probably have less, like, touring, maybe it'll be more like, I was fortunate enough to get to know Ed McMahon towards the end of his life, right?
Right.
And he was just doing all these one-nighter, one-man shows where he was like telling stories of him and Johnny Carson. And he was like probably making, I don't know, 50, 60 grand probably from these shows, maybe a night,
wow.
and maybe more. And he was just like doing a handful of them and obviously like getting taken care of because he had a lot of money to make his travel and whatnot like fun.
Right.
But he was just kind of doing what he wanted to do, and he wasn't.
Okay, so it's.
But
maybe,
he was still like.
Maybe it feels different when you're on your own. I don't know.
Well,
that sounds like. But
so you're saying you still want to? I mean, doing Joker
well,
shows.
Well, no. Joke Impractical Jokers. Is that what you said?
In your 80s?
Dude, fuck no. Are you nuts? I can't take
it. Am I nuts? I think this is a brilliant fucking...
I'm having fun.
You're talking about the show going
no,
70
seasons.
No,
I'm talking about stand-up.
Yeah.
The Joker's... I got... Jeez, I mean, a couple of years more, I better be done with this shit.
You don't want to do Betty White off the rockers for real?
No, we always say if we're still having fun and we still evolve the show
yes.
and we're not sick of it, we'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
And we are having fun.
Yeah.
But I know, you know, we know that... I mean, really, shows don't go unless it's like certain shows, Simpsons,
sure.
South Park. But you know, we're not animated.
Yeah,
but
you'll age.
But you are in that world where they're. I mean, we were talking about this too. Like, God, seeing some people, and it does happen, right? Where they do pick up on something, and you can't use it, right? But there still are.
We can't. Yeah, they won't sign. You mean?
Well, I mean, if they do,
if
or
they
if they
recognize.
Right?
Oh, yeah, no, they did.
Yeah.
We won't.
Yeah,
use
but that happens early on,
yeah,
right?
Because you're in rooms like now, like we said, like you're doing group. Speaking where you're in front of like this a ton of people,
but also there's
we have tricks.
One
we have
person.
Tricks. So we'll go if they're in a holding area before they go into the room, or if they go get seated in the room. One of us will walk through it, just one of us, like in plain clothes, and walk past everybody, and then we'll have like five people there, hawk-eyeing and all the cameras, and see if there's any recognition. As soon as there's recognition, someone walks up to them, pulls them, says, "Can we talk to you outside for a second?" And then we pull all of them out of there.
If
we're at a big place like City Field for the Mets game, which we were.
Yes.
What you
That's
do
in
is
this season, right?
That was the end of last season, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the end of last season. This season, I think, just started 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll do like a thing where it's like, look, we don't want to prohibit the creative. So we'll go. There's no way people aren't going to see us. If they yell Impractical Jokers or they yell something, someone who doesn't know what they're yelling. That's not going to clue them into, oh, this is a hidden camera show and Joe's stealing autographed baseballs from Noah Syndergaard. Like, they're not going to. So it's like what we do is we just focus on the people who we know don't know us. And the cameramen will find the people who are real and don't know us. And we'll interact with those people, even though some people are peppered throughout that are recognizing us. Mm-hmm. You can move in silence. You kind of find a way to navigate the crowd and still get it done.
And you're watching so much the focus of what's happening that even if you're not really going to catch if there is a person in the background that you can't somehow Photoshop out that might look over, they might just be looking over at the absurdity of what is happening.
Correct.
You can't assume that they're just like, is that Sal fucking
right.
trying to put a balloon on somebody's you know, shopping cart? Also, there are fucking billions of people.
Right.
So that's one thing that when people are like, I mean, you guys are super fucking famous, but there's a lot of people.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's the number one question we get. Number one, how do you do it still? It's like, dude, we do it in New York City.
Yeah,
it's in one block. There's 75,000 people.
Also, in a city where there's so much just go go go, where I don't think people are really, and I think that's why celebrities say that they enjoy being out there, because they're not getting accosted, because people are just fucking moving. They don't got time to be like, hey, Paul Giamatti, sign my tits. Well, yeah, I might have screamed once.
Yeah.
Yeah, New York, that's what you get in New York. You get the, oh! Yeah, and then you just nobody breaks stride.
No,
yeah, they got great. They got fucking things to do.
I mean, some people accost you, but like a lot of times you'll get the just like or just like the Sally.
Yeah,
and you're just like
that's great.
I was so fortunate enough to be in New York, and you let me come to set to watch.
Oh yeah,
dude. That was one of. I mean, this was like a make a wish type shit. And it was like getting to see how it was.
What we're saying is we don't have Adam for too much
longer. Dude, it was so. Thanks for making that happen. But it was so cool to see, because there's so much that goes into. I mean, like, I don't know how many days the people came to scout out that area, because the people who were not in on the stunt, and then the holding room where all you guys are, all the production was happening, and the stuff for the stunt, which I won't say, but is happening. Like, it was so methodically planned.
You can say it, don't matter.
That stunt?
Yeah, you could say it. It doesn't matter, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to air, but it's not like... It's,
all right, so look, I know bestiality is not for everybody, but the stunt was, can you come inside this bear? And no. And, okay, so yeah, so it was a...
Basically, I think, I know the one you're at. So there was
somebody at a desk in a lobby, desk. A receptionist. Mm-hmm.
And they were at a receptionist on a floor of a building that does like focus groups. So what they were told was that all day long, all different demographics and people are going to be walking out of here, coming out of focus groups. They have to sign out after they're done with it, and you have to give them an envelope saying that they did it and like a check.
They said like, hey, what group are you in? What, yeah. No, they go, what's your name? And then what group were you in? How was your experience? Anything that you could be done better? And right. That's it. So like enough to like have an in and out interaction, and the receptionist takes the person in, but then like, so then the stunt was.
So what we had to do was I would exit as myself.
Okay.
And I would answer those questions with the receptionist, the exit receptionist. Mm-hmm. She'd hand me my envelope. I'd walk out. Run around the entire side of the building, come back in the other side, go in, and then there was a full room of costumes and wardrobe. And I would try to change my appearance and walk out again and collect more money. And
meanwhile, other people are coming through to keep the illusion up that,
right.
That like I like they let me go out at one point because I was they were using a lot of cast of crew members, so I was like, can I go out? So I got at one point, and she's like, what's your name? I go, Jason Chazes. Yeah. I go, JC Chazes.
Yeah,
and then she's like, and then she goes, okay, and a group, and I was like, group B, and she's like, how was your experience? I go, enlightening, warm, you know. And would you do it again? Definitely not. No.
I just tried. Yeah. And so what the thing was, if he or she was like, no way, you were here already.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get money and she called you out, you'd lose. And it was okay. How many times can you get past her in another outfit?
And these outfits are fucking like, I mean, can I even say I went out in full, like these stiletto, like 5-inch heels with like spike, like a vest that was like leather with spikes. He had like goth makeup on and like the voice he did was
basically
the lead
singer of the Misfits.
Yes.
Dude. Yeah. And like, and
I'll find the pictures in here.
And then like Joe went out in one that was like literally looked like it was just like one of those, like it was a taco costume. Or no, he looked like a green bean. What was it? He was wearing,
what was he
looked like Mr. Magoo meets the Monopoly guy.
Wow.
Who fucked the Jolly Green Giant. And like literally he walks out, and because this was one of his last ones, and we're all sitting back there because the girl's just looking at him being like, and then he would walk away. Oh, and he had googly eye glasses on.
Sure.
So
he
really?
And he had a cane and he was bumping into shit. And then everybody back there, you guys were like, all right, bump into the door and drop your cane and look for it. And so then they're showing the girl being like, watching, not helping, just being like this.
That's so ridiculous.
I'm going to show Brad. Here's one of the ones I walked through as.
Awesome. It's okay. Like biker.
Can you show one of the, can you show this camera?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right in front of you, right?
This one? Oh, shit. Right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. It's a little biker guy.
So that's that one. I mean, and then I also came out as Cousine.
Oh, geez. Yeah, tracksuit. Yeah.
I put on bronzer.
Personal trainer.
Yeah.
Personal trainer style.
Well, this was my mistake. I wanted to slow roll it.
Yeah.
So I came out like that second, and she called me out immediately.
Oh.
But then I checked out that guy.
Oh, yeah. The Slash.
Yeah.
From Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, it was pretty brilliant.
And then this was like the last one. This looked terrible. I will be the first one to say that doesn't look real.
Yeah. You look like a fat suit.
That was a misstep.
Yeah.
But you know what's so brilliant? Like the way, and this is, you know, and a testament to, I think, just the years and chemistry you guys have, but it's like all the banter and like suggestions that you're throwing out to the person that's out there,
yeah,
and like, you know, feeding stuff into their ear is like so seamless, man. Like you must feel that too, where it's like you just, there is just a rhythm and a give and take that it's like
between the guys.
Yeah,
and
man. When you're all back there watching somebody,
what the ideas
go to
are
work.
And
yeah.
stuff.
But I mean, like everything. I mean, I know you probably script a few things, but like, yeah. but there's just so much natural. Like, you know, you can tell it's not like, all right, Sal's gonna speak, then Joe, then Q. It's just like it's all just kind of.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that kind of energy is what we're hoping to achieve. Yeah. You know, so but it's just from doing it so long, yeah. so much.
Yeah.
There's a shorthand just like anything else. But yeah, it is. It's cool. You know, I never think about these things.
I know, man.
Until someone from that like goes on set that isn't there.
You're
all
in the
time.
Middle of it. You're not right. looking yeah, at yeah, it from
yeah.
the outside.
So to hear it, like I never like reflect on it like that, but I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty, yeah.
So there's how many and you guys shot for like it was like 5-6 months, right?
We shoot like 10 months a year.
10 months.
Jesus Christ. Madness. And then yeah. the other 2 months you're touring.
Yeah, yeah. And that's not 2 months off. That's 5 months on, a month off, 5 months on, a month off.
Right.
And
right.
then that month off. It's like at least 2 weeks, at least two and a half weeks of touring.
Because I think when I first mm-hmm. saw you were getting ready in when we went to Chappelle at Radio City.
Yes.
And I was in town for like maybe 2 days, and you're getting ready to start shooting, I think maybe like a couple weeks after that. And then I remember when I came back and I was like, are you guys still going? And you were like, yeah. And it was like 5 months later. I was like, how fucking long does this go?
Yeah. It takes like a week or so to film an episode,
yeah.
and we do like 30 episodes. Yeah. But then yeah. also there's pre-production,
yes.
and we're editing as we go. So like we're airing season 7 right now, but still filming season 7 because it's
amazing.
30 episodes.
Yeah.
So when the first episode starts, we usually have about 9 in the can.
Wow.
And then we have to do another 21 while it's airing.
But you're done editing now, though. Everything's
no. We edit every day. It's rolling. It's a rolling process. So if I shoot all this week, we're editing that all this. It's just constant.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
And writing, because I also don't have the bits that I'm filming in.
Yeah.
3 months from now.
And yeah. all
it's completely like we're always writing, yeah. filming, editing at any given moment, all three in the same day. Like
and all that while you're also doing stand up, trying to write stand up before. Performing stand-up, maybe you're doing the third Joker's Cruise.
Yes.
Maybe you're doing that. That's
the thing.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Okay.
So yes, it's
now,
announced.
Is there a date yet, or do you know?
February 6th to the 10th, 2019, from Tampa to Grand Stirrup Cay, Bahamas.
Look at you with the details.
I got it. Now, practicaljokerscruise.com.
Okay. Fuck. I'm sure there's all the details to that. And
I'm going
to
be on a cruise with you.
Are you you're doing it?
Yes.
All right. Oh, you, oh, you can keep out. It in.
Hey, Dum-Dum, you're on video.
Yeah, no, I did a motion. People don't know that.
I'm pretty sure Q and I are coming on the Jericho cruise.
Yeah.
Which you're on,
yes.
which I saw, and I've been meaning to tell
you've
you.
You've done that before, right?
No, this is the first time it's ever happened.
Oh.
So this is, and for comedy, it's Ron Funches, it's Jim Brewer, it's me, it's now Sal.
Yes.
And a bunch of wrestlers and heavy metal bands. This is going to be the first time they put a wrestling ring on a cruise ship.
Amazing.
And they're going to have a Sea of Honor tournament.
That's so amazing.
Holy shit.
It's good.
Actually interests me.
Yeah. It's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be madness. No, that's going to be weird because you're going to be on someone else's cruise.
It is. Oh, but it's cool because I'm only going to go, you know, it's like mine. I drop dead by the end of it. I host like 15 events a day.
Yeah, every day you're doing stuff.
Jesus. And we do more than is asked of us. Probably about 4 or 5 times more than is asked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we set the tone the first year because we wanted to be a success. We wanted to be an annual thing. So we went all out. And the feedback they gave us was that they've never, ever seen anyone involved with this process in the cruise give anywhere near as much as we gave to
wow.
them back to back.
Wow.
Yeah. So we were like, well, that's the reputation now. That's what we want to uphold. So we go hard on that cruise. I can't even speak by the third day. I have no voice.
Oh, yeah.
On. Yeah. But so this will be like a more welcome thing. Like, you know, go do a show, hang out. And just
oh,
relax.
Yeah. Yeah. Now like the pressure's not on you.
Yeah.
You don't have to do like that. Oh, that's going to be, it's
Jericho's
so much fun.
First. It's a first one.
Yeah.
And then ours is, it's in October and ours is in February.
Well, I know that when I open for the New Kids on the Block on their concert cruise.
You did that, right?
Twice.
Yes.
Because
you're boys with
Joe,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
I don't know if I've drank more on those or touring with Adam Devine. And I'm going to have to say Adam just because he's been drinking, I think, since 12, because that's just how they do it in Omaha. But also, like, you know, the cruise atmosphere is just so conducive. If you, and they pack in the events, which I'm sure, like you do, where it's just all day there's shit going on. So there's always a reason to want to be like, well, let's grab a drink and go to that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what's so fun about it.
Now, are you a wrestling fan? Or are you going to be able to... Like, are you
going to be in the ring?
Yeah. Do you watch wrestling, or are you going to go watch the Sea of Honor tournament?
I watch wrestling, yeah. Fuck, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm going to SmackDown tomorrow.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Fuck. I was huge into it as a kid, like anybody else.
Sure.
And then I fell out of it. I right around ECW, right before ECW, I fell out of it. And I remember ECW coming out because my friends still watch it, and they were like, the game has been changed. Yeah. And I remember they took me to an ECW match, and Bubba Ray Dudley basically beat the shit out of me. I called him a fat fuck. And I didn't know what he was about. And
yeah,
and now we're friends to this day.
Oh,
we're
good.
Friends.
Oh my God,
I met him
so
3 years ago. I told him the story. He remembered me, and we're good friends now. But in 1999, July 4th, 1999, we were not friends. And I called him a fat fuck, and he literally almost strangled and slapped the shit out of me in front of hundreds of people online waiting to get into the venue.
Oh my God.
And he scared the shit out of me. And I can tell you the story, but.
Yes,
do it.
I don't know if we're, I don't know. I can.
We got 10, 12 minutes.
In New York, back then, you would rent a beach house with your friends for the summer. And what you do is you go down every weekend. And it's like 20 guys and girls in the house, whatever. So we had a beach house, and they were doing a show outdoors at this bar called Bar Anticipation in Belmar, New Jersey, Bar A. And it was the Brawl at the Beach. ECW is when it first came out. Now, ECW, when they came out, it was like tables, ladders,
chairs,
thumbtacks.
Yeah, wrapping arms and barbed wire, lighting shit on fire. Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, it was Paul Heyman. Yeah, and then, anyway, so... That had like this resurgence of this extreme, like, was that, and so my friends were all shitting their pants, like, we got to go to this. So I'm like, I'll go. I had stopped watching wrestling. It had been about 3 or 4 years at least, maybe more. And like WrestleMania 4 or 5, I stopped.
Okay.
So I go, and my friends are like, these guys, the Dudley boys,
yeah.
They're like, you got to see that. It's unbelievable. They had a reputation for touring and fighting, like, with the audience.
Yeah.
And they came through Staten Island, where I was from, and they played this place called the Fun Bubble, and.
That sounds like something
don't
you
just skip over that.
It sounds like something you order from a Taiwanese hooker. I'll take the Fun Bubble. How much for the Fun Bubble?
It was like one of those, like,
is it extra for the soapy?
It was one of those things, like, it was like a dome that had like go-karts, arcade, batting ring.
Enough said. Great name.
Yeah. And so the Fun Bubble, so they
thumbtacks and wrestling.
They had that, and I heard that someone, like, he spit at someone, or someone spit at him, whatever the case may be, and they started fighting, and then the whole crowd jumped in, and the Dudley boys were fighting the crowd. It was a full-on brawl. Police came. Everybody got arrested. They got arrested. So I had heard this story, and I didn't really, like, I don't know if I don't know what I was thinking, but the place is, the parking lot is packed to the point where when people park cars right behind them and you can't even get the fourth car in out, like, it was just packed. There was no semblance to it.
Right.
So it was a sea of cars in any which way, and we were online, maybe a few hundred people on a line. It was 95 degrees. We're waiting to get in, and we got there before doors opened. He pulls up in his own car, and he gets out. Bubba's name is Mark. He's from Queens. He's a great guy. Now I know, you know. He gets out, and he's clear across the other end of the parking lot. It's maybe, like, I want to say 300 feet away.
Okay.
And he gets out of the car, and for some reason, I'm standing with 15 friends, and I figure, oh, this is like what you do. You know, you yell boo, hiss.
Yeah.
You know, and
you fat fuck.
Yeah, yeah. You say, you're no good. Yeah. I hope, you know, you get pinned.
Yeah.
Or you go, hey, Bubba Ray Dudley, you fat fuck. And then I said that one. And then I turned because I didn't really want him to see it. He was getting out of his car.
Yeah.
And I turned, and I'm in a sea of people online, hundreds. And my friend Jeff goes, I see his face just turn a shade of, like, pale, and he goes, he's looking that way. I turned away. He goes, Sal, he's coming over here quick. And I was like, all right. No, he's not. He goes, no, Sal, he's charging over here. And I go, all right, well, still, he doesn't know I said it. We're in a big crowd. He goes, Sal, he's getting closer, and he's running at you. And I turn around, and he is jumping over cars. He's jumping because they're parked bumper to bumper, and he's sliding over the hoods and just jumping and running over the cars.
It's like the Terminator 2.
He gets like 10 feet away, and there's a stanchion with metal link chains to keep the line. And he goes and he grabs the chain and goes like this and pops the metal chain out of the stanchion and walks right up to me, right in my face. He's like this tall. And he goes, "What the fuck did you say?" And he takes off my Yankee hat and slaps me in the face with it and then slaps me the other way. Right? And he goes, "Say it in my face." And he, if I took off your Yankee hat and slapped, it whips you in the face.
Yeah, that's going to do
and
some
I
damage.
Just was, and I couldn't believe it. It was all happened so fast that I wasn't ready for this fallout. So I was like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." I just looked down and he goes, "Go ahead. You think you're fucking funny? You think you're a tough guy? Say it right now." And he's the things are coming out of his, like he's, this is not like, he's an Academy Award winning actor if he wasn't really mad. And he, and I didn't know what to do. And I saw him. Like, you know when you know someone, if you flinch the wrong way, they're going to react and hit you?
Yes, right.
I mean, he's going to take my head off. So I looked down, and I didn't know what to do. I wouldn't look him in the eyes. And I sounded like Rain Man. I was like, I'm just a big fan. I'm just doing what you're supposed to do. I'm just doing, I'm being the guy in the crowd that yells, "I'm just a big fan." I didn't mean anything by it. Yeah. He goes, say it. And I go, I'm not going to say it. I'm just a big fan. Look, I'm just a big fan. And he picks up my hat off the floor again and slaps me with it again.
Jesus.
Right? Now I see, while he's yelling at me, I see my friend Eddie Rosa, and he's pushing a security guards wearing yellow windbreakers too. He's pushing the security guard in between us, and the security guard is pushing him back.
It's like, I don't
want to
do this.
He does not want to get in between us, and he's pushing my friend back. So they're pushing each other, and I'm in my periphery. I'm like, the security guard's not going to help me.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know what to do. So I just kept my head down, and I was like bracing for impact.
Yeah.
And he just like took a deep breath after screaming. He slapped me 3 times, and they turned around and he started to walk back, and security followed him. And the whole crowd, by the way, during this entire thing, not one person made one sound, and neither did I. And then he walked back 300 more feet. Still no one made a sound. Mm-hmm. And right when he got to the other side of it, and it was before he was going to walk in, the whole crowd erupted in applause. The whole crowd. And it felt like, and I believe this is true, they were applauding his antics for coming to me and putting me in my place. Not like me.
No.
Like, they weren't applauding the situation. They were like, "You dick, you just got owned.
Way to say nothing in front of Bubba." Yeah.
And I watched, and he walked in, and I waited till, I remember the door closed slow, because it was like one of those like doors like that have the thing that it has like the pressure, and it closed real slow. And I waited till it was completely closed, and I looked down and I lit a cigarette. I smoked at the time, and I was holding it like this, and my hand wouldn't stop shaking. The adrenaline, my hand wouldn't stop shaking. And I'm like, what the fuck do I do now? So I step off the line. Mm-hmm. Everyone's looking at me. I take a drag of my cigarette. I go, "Anybody else got a problem?" And they all cheered, and I felt a little bit better because at least I made a joke out of it, because I felt like a stupid piece of shit.
Legendary.
Beat with your own hat and then
slap.
Comes out on
emasculate.
Top. Dude, the hat smackdown is like underrated as far
and then people were lining up to have me sign their programs, and I was signing it, "Fuck Bubba."
Oh my God. Yeah. Dude.
And I told him this story about let me see, it was 2000. Remember 2015, I think. So it was 16 years later. And he had heard I was backstage. I was friends with another wrestler, and he didn't know the show. And he's like, "Oh, check it out." And I was like, "Oh, cool. Check it out." And then like I saw him again, and then he knew the show. And I go, "Can I tell you something else? You did this to me." You did this. I told him the story, and he fucking remembered it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we become friends
now. He's come to like 3 of my tapings. Like, that's, we hang awesome. Out. Like, literally, he's been on Jokers twice, I think, once or twice.
Oh my God!
Yeah, and it's so funny. So I was gonna maybe start telling that story on stage, but it's more of a story, so I don't know where to go.
No, dude, in an hour it's set, hilarious. That has a home for sure.
Yeah, that's fucking amazing. So for more antics like that, book your cabin on the Jericho Cruise. I'm just gonna be like, "Hey, Kenny Omega, Sal thinks you're a fuck."
I don't know what I was thinking. And also, that's so uncharacteristic of me.
Yeah.
I'm not that. I don't do that to people.
Yeah. But I think, like, it was just like the spirit of the thing. Yes, it's wrestling.
That's really what I thought.
Do.
But I probably shouldn't have said that.
I don't know, man. Sometimes your brain just thinks something before your mouth can really, like,
That's what it was.
Reason with your brain.
That's what already. I don't know how he knew it was me. He was facing the, like, he wasn't looking at me when I did.
Yeah, right.
He might have just
just, I don't know. I don't know, but he
superhuman skills that
when I saw him rip the metal chain, a metal chain popped out of a thing. I was like, oh my God.
See, and that's how you know that, like, the stuff that goes on in Joker is like, that, it's authentic. That's who you guys are. Yeah. That's what, this is not Hollywood coming together in a think tank and being like, oh, what's going to work? I think if we get these guys together and they prank each other. No, this is just who you guys are, and they just turn the cameras on you. I feel like you would get, I feel like you guys would be doing this even if there were no cameras.
We do.
Yeah.
The cameras are off. We still do it right now, which is weird. Like, it's just, that's what we do. Like, we're just trying to fuck with it. Just make each other laugh, you know, like, just mess around.
Are you still trying to, there's still, like, during a normal day, like, if something hits you, are you, like, jotting down notes for, like, a potential? Yeah.
Right. Or just, texting staff.
Yeah.
Like, I have an idea. Make this happen. Or help me develop this.
Awesome.
Man, do you have to call a truce with the other jokers? Like, hey, guys. It's my wedding.
Have Busey attack me.
Yeah.
we've thought of stuff like that. We'd have to check because it's crossing a line. Like, we wanted to. Joe Gatto just had his second child, a boy, and we begged him, and we were going to do it anyway. We were going to go and name his son without telling him. Like, we were going to name his, because he's Italian and his wife is Lebanese. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell you how much we were almost going to do this. Wow. We were going to go in and see if we can. Name his son Hummus Luigi. and then when he, like, then he kind of found out, and then we were like begging him to let us do it on the show, and then he could change it another time, and he contemplated it, but that was one of those things like, nah, this is, you know, my son, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It's so funny that,
why, like, is my name Hummus Luigi? Well, like this house you're living in. Daddy had a mortgage payment.
That's
incredible. Well, if you can't tell by listening to this or watching this, Sal, you're hilarious, you're incredible. Go watch Impractical Jokers. You're like the last one to hop on the damn bandwagon, but who cares? There's always room.
Please.
There's
my
always
8-year-old
room.
We're waiting for watch it.
Yeah. Yes.
There's always room on the bandwagon.
Hey, guess what? All you old farts that wanted to sit down at the Steve Miller show, guess what? This is something you can sit down. You don't have to fucking rock out and
sit
feel
down
bad.
And watch it. Yeah.
There's no down in front when you're watching TV.
Yeah. So watch Impractical Jokers. Go to, how do they get the live dates? Is that the Tenderloin?
Yeah, the tenderloins.com, and there's a tour page, or you can go to Impractical.
Is your separate tour page on there too?
No, actually, no. I'm actually building a website. I just I just social media my solo stuff right now. But
and then
there will be a home. I think it's salvolcanocomedy.com.
Speaking of homes, you got a new home, which is a big deal.
Yes, I did. I did, and come you are so nice. He's so kind to me. He sent me a housewarming gift. That is the hit of the house.
Is it?
Yes. It's
what is
right
it?
When
just
you walk
that
in.
Because you're on the podcast.
I'm not. I made a house that was made to have company. Because I never did. I live in this one. I never had company. Now I have company all the time. I have people over on the fly.
Well,
I'm like, what, you want to eat dinner here? I would never do that. And people come over. Right now, while I'm away, I had friends staying at my house.
Oh,
there you go.
And first you got me the coolest thing ever, and I didn't have the room for it. Foosball.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he told me about all these things that he was going out of his way to get, and I'm like, all right, so you now live in the fun bubble? Is that what you're saying? Like,
yeah, so I got arcade games, and I put in a basketball hoop in the living room and a swing and stuff. Like, I made it like... It's like Tom Hanks and Big. Like, I just was like, I could get what I want now. I waited this long. I saved some money. I'm going to get a basketball hoop.
You can still
hoop.
Have the adult stuff, but you can...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's like a regulation hoop. Like,
you'll have an office, but then you'll have a Papa Shot.
Yeah, so I end up getting like the old school giant like red like candy machines with like gum and M&Ms and like Runts and stuff in it.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And it's right by the front door, and I have a little bowl with quarters in it.
No way!
Yeah. So it's like... So people love it. They on the way in and on the way out, they get hit with a treat.
Well, dude, that's kind of like you know, my essence. If I were to write a biography, I would want people to walk in and walk out thinking they left. Wait, now that's what a great idea to put the bowl quarters, because that does make it. That because
I didn't know at first. I thought they could just turn it and
that's
get
what
it.
I thought,
and then I was getting lodged with complaints because people are like, "Yo, what the hell? I don't have any." And they, no, you got to put the quarters. It was a little bit by necessity, but like it also was a nice gesture. But yeah. Yeah. But people were like, "Yo, bro, like I can't even get any candy."
And I'm like, "You a bucket of quarters?"
And it doesn't work with anything but quarters. I think.
Jesus.
No, they just fall through because it's like the right size. So I was like trying to put in like nickels and shit.
So they're like, "Sal, man, you got
like,
a
please,
house.
Sir, yeah.
You need more money from us." Yeah.
Do you have the key to open it up, or just one day you got to smash these things? Like, no, fuck, they're filled.
You have the key, but it's very unorthodox. You got to go in at the top, then open it, and then you like dig in.
Oh,
and
God.
You really want? So I put the little bowl, and it's just a fun. It's fun for everybody.
It is, yeah.
There you
and
go.
It was so kind of you.
That's such a big deal, man.
You're the best.
Well, thanks for, making time. I know, because when you come here, it's like you're getting pulled in so many directions.
No, I would always come. I love coming. Thank you guys for inviting me.
So we're not drinking. We're not taking a sip.
If you want, I would. For sure, I would.
I think we should. It's a good way to close out.
You can't put Roddy Piper soda in front of me and have me not.
All right, let's just take a quick sip and then.
Just like you want to.
Yeah, just pop it off.
Do we need a pop topper?
It seems like it'll either that or I just am very weak.
Perfect. Yeah.
By the way, if you guys come through New York, and I told you this already,
yes.
If by chance you don't feel like staying at a hotel or you're in and out or you need a place, my place is always open.
And we love bubble gum and runs.
And runs and basketball hoops.
Yes.
Done. And swings.
Plenty of quarters, plenty of runs.
There we go.
Where's the swing located?
In the living room.
In the bedroom.
I don't know. Do we need to want to open both?
No, just one.
The swing's in the living room.
There. Here, it's yours. You take the first sip.
Okay. Just passing around over.
Are we fine with that, right?
Yeah. I don't care.
We're all friends here.
Is everybody herpes free?
Yeah, I am.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, wait. He said yes, I am. You said wait a minute.
Hold. Thank you, Steve Simone.
Yeah.
Our friend Steve Simone.
Okay. How's the bubblegum soda?
Interesting.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see it,
yeah.
Okay. It tastes like bubblegum-ish.
I love that you went back for a second sip because you can't tell after one.
Yeah. I mean,
it's good. If that was in like a glass of ice, I would drink it. It's like,
this is just what everyone thinks midgets drink all the time. Like, oh, midgets and their bubblegum soda and their lollipop dreams.
Oh yeah, and he goes to bed in a rainbow comforter.
Well, you've been to my house.
it's good. It tastes like a fruity soda, like the taste of kind of bubblegum a little.
I like bubblegum ice.
I didn't
cream
feel
before.
Like I was drinking liquid bubblegum, but maybe I had my hopes too high.
I think you did.
Yeah. But it's not bad.
There you go. Adam Ray, will that replace Pop-Tarts as your favorite thing?
How dare you? Let me enjoy the taste before you put that type of conundrum in my... Yeah, I would drink it. It's like something I feel like if I'm at the roller skating party and I need something to quench my thirst, but also give me a pick-me-up because the girl that I thought I had somewhat of a chance to get a skate with, you know, really just... You know, and I'll say her name, Ellen Brolight. I remember when I asked you. This was fucking 1994. And look, I was a bigger kid, and maybe I did wear fluorescent wristbands to the roller skating party, okay? I was going through a wristband phase. Alonzo Mourning wore them, so why can't Adam Ray wear them? And she said no, and I would have loved an all-out bubblegum.
That exact sound by in its entirety should be this logo. Just really small typing.
All in the back.
It's no by Menon, but it'll do.
Good night, everybody.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know. But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also,
Get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.